People teaching this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, they actually say that God will give people a second chance in hell. No, He's not. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. You're either tormented the rest of your life in eternity, or you're going to be comforted for all eternity. You make the choice. Everyone has to make that choice.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once lived selfishly, but since coming to Christ almost 50 years ago, he's lived to share his hope of eternity with others. To learn more from Raul's story on how you can look forward to life in heaven, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. Or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, today as Raul returns to 1 Peter, he'll draw a line in the spiritual sand to show that when it comes to Jesus, there can be no middle ground in your response to His sacrificial death. There's only belief or unbelief, acceptance or rejection. If you haven't received Christ's free gift of salvation, we invite you to listen to Raul's presentation of the gospel today and consider what your response should be. Here's Raul Reese now in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19.
As I went back to read verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 3, let's go back for a second there. We'll pick up verse 19 in a second. He says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He, Christ, might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit." So Christ has done this whole thing by going to the cross, dying on the cross, so that through His death and resurrection, we can have eternal life. I like that. That we can have eternal life. And yet there are so many people that do not really truly understand the purpose of His coming. Why He came. He came to lay down His life for each one of us individually. And then what He does now, we come to probably one of the most difficult scriptures in the New Testament. This is the most difficult for all teachers to teach on. Verses 19 and 20. Check this out. Look what He says. He says in verse 19, "By whom also He went to preach to the spirits in prison." Interesting statement. Prison? Where's that at? It's talking about hell. Now, it's really important that we understand in this fourth observation here, because we're coming to one of the most difficult and controversial scriptures in the New Testament. Because there are people that will use verse 19 and 20 for people to be saved through baptism. And it's really important that as we study the scripture, we understand what Peter is saying here. Because the first thing that we want to see is that the Lord, when He died on the cross, when He died, He went down to hell. It's called Sheol, the place of the dead in Hebrew. And before Jesus Christ died, everybody that died from the book of Genesis, from Adam, all the way through until we get to the New Testament when He goes to the cross and dies and then resurrects 3 days later, every person that died in the past, they all went to hell. All of them. And in hell, or Sheol, there were two compartments separated. One, which called Abraham's bosom, and then a gulf separating the righteous from the wicked on the other side. It was called Sheol or Hades or the place of the dead or hell. Now we have to remember that when Jesus Christ died, rose again, and during those 3 days, He went down to hell to preach to the captives, the Bible says. This is where we need to look at the scripture because this is real important. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Here's Jesus, not a story. This is not a parable. This is the real thing. Whenever he's going to give a parable, he says this is a parable. This is not a parable. Many theologians say this is a parable. This is not a parable. You know why? In parables, Jesus never uses people's names. People's names in the Bible. Here he uses Abraham's name. Lazarus too. Check this out. So we're going to go to chapter 16 of Luke. And beginning at verse 19, look what he says. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fair. And notice, and every day he partied. He had so much money, so much time in his hands, that every weekend he would throw a party for his friends. And it says in verse 20, but there was also a certain beggar by the name of Lazarus, full of sores, and he was laid at this gate. So he was full of sores. I mean, he was sick. He had sores all over his body. And it says that here, who was laid at his gate. So somebody brought him and they put him down in front of this mansion by this big old beautiful gate. And as he was by this gate, look what happens. Verse 22. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Wait a minute, you mean the angels came and picked up his body and carried him to Abraham's bosom? No, his spirit, your body stays. And what's amazing to me is I read the story. The angels came. What does that tell you? When everyone dies, the angels are going to come and get you. Whether you're in the hospital bed or at home, wherever you're dying or an accident, the angels come to get you. And they carry you wherever you're going to go, heaven or hell. Here, he tells us, they came and got him and took him to hell, but on the other side, Abraham's bosom, the place of what? The righteous, waiting for the Mashiach to come and set them free. That's where people in the Old Testament went. That's before Christ died. And then what happens? And then the rich man also died. Can you imagine this? In that culture again, in Israel, in the Middle East, when you die, they bury you the same day. Same day. They don't wait 2 or 3 days like we do. Same day you get buried. Verse 23. And being now, imagine, okay, he dies. And all of a sudden he wakes up. Huh? I thought you said he died. Yeah, he died, but he woke up spiritually. And guess what happened? He woke up on the other side in torment. Look what it says. And being in torment, singular, no, plural, torments in Hades, hell. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off. Hey, wait a minute. I thought you said he died. How can he have eyes? He had eyes to see. And notice, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off. And who was there? Lazarus. He didn't even know Lazarus. He didn't even know him. And now he knows his name. That's Lazarus. Wow. I can't believe it. He never met Abraham. Abraham has been dead 2,000 years. And he knew Abraham just like that. That's Abraham. That's Lazarus. The consciousness of eternity. For people that go to hell is forever and ever and ever. People don't realize where they're going. They don't even know what's after. You think this is torment here? Wait till you get to the next life where you can't die. It's a done deal forever and ever and ever, the Bible says. His eyes were open. And then what? Then he started crying. What? He cried? Yep. He cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's too late. No more mercy. No more mercy. Have mercy on me. Can you believe for all eternity crying out, have mercy on me, O God? Nope. It's too late. It's a done deal. You're done. Forever. No second opportunities. Why? Because people teaching this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, they actually say that God will give people a second chance in hell. No, he's not. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. You only get one chance right here while you can breathe. While you're alive, once you die, you're done forever. You go either to heaven or you go to hell. You're either tormented the rest of your life in eternity or you're going to be comforted for all eternity. You make the choice. Everyone has to make that choice, just like this rich man. Look what he says. Then he cried out and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger," not his fist, not his whole hand, just his finger. "And do what? And take water and bring it over and just put one drop in my tongue, because man, I'm burning. It's hot here. It's not a place of comfort, my friends. It's a place of torment, and it's hot there." That's what the Bible says. What else does he say? He says that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this, what? Flame. Not flames, flame. He was in a flame, burning, tormented. And he wanted to be put out. And what does Abraham say to him? Abraham says to his son, remember. Oh, wait a minute. There's another sense. He could smell, he could see, he could think, he could taste, and now he can remember. And look what it says. It says, Abraham says, son, remember that in your lifetime, go back and review your life, that in your lifetime, you received every good thing. You were rich. You had credit cards, you had checks, you had cash, you had a beautiful mansion, you had all kinds of chariots, you had everything. Everything. Don't you remember? Look what he says. He said, and every good thing, and likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now, he, Lazarus, is comforted, and you are what? Tormented. Underline that. There's a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Torment, comfort. Torment and comfort. This is a real thing, my friends. And by the way, he says, I want to tell you, I don't want to deceive you. He says in verse 26, and beside this, all this, between you and us, there is a great gulf fixed. He says there's a big pit. So you can't jump over from this side, or these guys from this side to this side. It's split. God separated. Can you imagine standing there looking to the other side and people are tortured, yelling and screaming, and they're watching the whole thing, and yet they're comforted, and they can't do nothing about it. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you're in heaven, there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. But in hell, it's only here a temporary place, because why? The Bible tells us that what? The lake of fire is coming in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. He says at the end of the age when Christ comes back and everything is done, 1,000 years is done, what is he going to do? He's going to open the books, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life, first of all, he casts hell into the lake of fire, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and then every demon. And then every person whose name was not found written in the book of life, like the rich man, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Forever. Very clear, the scriptures. God means what he says. And here he's telling them, there's a place of separation. Look what he said. Verse 26 again. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to there, you cannot, nor can those from here pass to us. Then he said, then I beg you. Now he look, he's begging now. They're having a conversation. I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Did you know that in hell, he was thinking about his father? and his brothers and everyone in his family. And what does he want him to do? He wants him to send Lazarus or someone from that place to go warn them lest they come to that place too. This is heavy. This is not just a story. This is the truth. And what else does he say? Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Notice that. He knows that. Five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Wow. They know it's a place of torment. And they want to warn, but it's too late. They were warned, and they didn't take warning. Now they're done. That's what happens to people that do not listen. God is so open by the Holy Spirit when he speaks. He doesn't hide anything. He's telling you, hey, there's a place that is hot. And people are burning up, and they wish they could come back and sit at Calvary Chapel and hear the word of God again. They can't do it. They wish they could repent. They can't do it. They only get one chance when you're alive, period. No other chances. And then what does he say? Notice. He says, verse 29, and Abraham responded and said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. See, they got the Old Testament. They got what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They got the historical books. They got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Lamentations. They have all the minor prophets. They have the scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. He says they're without excuse. They had the Word of God. And what did they do? They rejected the Word of God. Then he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead men, they will repent. Really? I put my whole life on you, they won't repent. Somebody came back from hell, told you they wouldn't repent. Watch what he says, verse 31. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one would rise from the dead. Who rose from the dead? Jesus Christ. People still don't believe today. Wow. This is before Christ died. He gave the story to speak to the people at that time as he speaks today. Don't mess with God's book. Don't mess with eternity. It's real. God means what he says. So what is Jesus trying to say? Jesus is trying to say, you guys, wake up. Heaven and hell are real places. And then remember what he says in the book of Revelation. When we have the rapture of the church come very soon, the rapture comes first. Then you have 7 years, we call the tribulation period, which is the last 7 years of the 490 years we spoke on Sunday morning in the book of Daniel. 483 years already have been fulfilled. March 14, 445 BC, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And then on April the 6th, 32 AD, when Jesus Christ entered the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, they would have palm branches and they were spreading their garments saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. What was it? 483 years out of 490. And the last 7 years, for the last 1900 years, has been put to the side. Why? Because God's working on Israel. Working on Israel today. Because Israel is going to be saved. In the last 7 years of world history, the way it's going to happen, first of all, is that the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, for the last 1900 years, what has God been doing? He poured out his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been here doing what? Convicting people of sin. And what happens after the church is taken to heaven? Ezekiel 38, 39 is fulfilled when the Muslims invade Israel and God wipes them out. You can read that in Ezekiel 38, 39. And then the Antichrist makes his appearance. He makes a covenant with Israel for 3.5 years to rebuild their temple. And then in the middle of the 3.5 years, the Antichrist goes in, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he sits in the temple and says, I am God. And the Jews go crazy. They can't believe it because he starts to prosecute and persecute them. And on their way out of Jerusalem, in the book of Revelation, it says what? That he kills. Actually, Zechariah chapter 14 says that he will kill 2/3 of the Jewish nation and only 1/3 will be spared as they go to the city of Petra. Behind me is the Dead Sea, and Jordan's on the other side, the city of Petra, a place where God already prepared for the Jews to be there for the last 3.5 years. He will seal them and protect them. It's all there. It's all in the scriptures. And then the Antichrist, when Jesus Christ is coming back at the second coming, what happens? It's at the Battle of Armageddon. When all the nations of the world gather together against who? Against Israel. And the Lord is coming back with the church, us, and the angels riding on white horses. And they turn against him to fight him. And Jesus Christ wipes them out. And what does the scripture say? Revelation chapter 16 says, there's going to be a river of blood in the valley of Megiddo. You'll see that next year. 180 miles or 200 miles of blood, 5 feet deep. God don't play around. Judgment comes. And then what does he do? He goes to Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives. He steps on it. It cleaves in half. Water from the center of the earth comes up. Goes to the back of the desert, through Jericho, all the way back to the Dead Sea. It touches it. The lowest part in the whole earth, nothing grows there. And then when it touches it, there's going to be fishing going on in the kingdom age. God heals those waters. And what does he do? He sets up his kingdom in 45 days. And then what happens? The judgment comes of the nations. Matthew 25. The judgment of the nations. Where God's going to split the world and he's going to say, the goats on my left side, on my left hand, and the sheep, the real sheep, on my right side. Why? It's a place where he says what? I'm going to separate now. Those that will go into the kingdom age. And their bodies, they weren't raptured. They didn't take the mark of the beast in the back of the right hand or the forehead. They will be the ones that will go into the kingdom age. The others will not be allowed. They took the mark of the beast. They're going to be judged and cast immediately into hell.
As Raul mentioned today, this is a very difficult passage out of 1 Peter, but the truth is unmistakable. Heaven and hell are real places, and we desperately need to turn from sin and believe in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's message, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the latest lesson from Raul's 1 Peter series. Now, to help you and your spouse learn what it looks like to live for the Lord together, we'd like to offer you Raul's audio series titled Husband and Wife, What's Your Role? It's a 4-message series that explains how God originally designed marriage and provides insight into the unique tasks he's assigned to both members of the relationship. You'll also discover how following the Bible's guidance can help you and your spouse enjoy the fullness of all that God desires for your future as a couple. Contact us to order the 4-CD series titled Husband and Wife, What's Your Role? To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this resource for a gift of just $19 or more. You can also order the resource by sending a check to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, if you've missed a lesson from this series or you'd like to review one again, we've made all of Raul's messages available as podcasts. You can easily download them through iTunes or Google Play and stream them on any Alexa-powered device. And because of your faithful prayers and financial support, people's lives are being touched by the ministry of Somebody Loves You Radio, and every gift is tax-deductible. Coming up next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from our study of 1 Peter by exploring what Peter reveals about the spiritual realm. We'll see how the reality of angels and demons factors into our lives as Christians. Here's Roll now with the final word.
So we're living in a time where we got to make some really heavy decisions in our country, in our nation, and the world today. We got to prepare to meet the Lord in the air soon. And the only way we can do that is become students of God's word. Reading, praying, studying, attending church, man, and getting set up so that God can use my life at work, wherever I play, wherever I do, to be able to be a witness, not by preaching, but by my life, living for Christ, they can see and ask questions about Jesus Christ, and I can give them the right answers and lead them to the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.